afternoon, Victoria.
Good afternoon, Michaela.
Thanks so much for joining me. So, to kick off, why is film archiving different in Australia than to what we've seen overseas in places like Europe?
I think there's a variety of reasons. The film archive in Australia is similar to the extent that, you know, we have an amazing collection and it's really rich in resources, but the difference really seems to be the online access.
Mm.
And in this period, I've really noticed it because we can't access the kind of films and the streaming of films for free or even on a kind of a pay-per-view basis if we wanted to from Australia. But, you know, my colleagues in London and Milan and in really who have been facing this pandemic right now have seen an increase in content and there's been a greater use of the online services.
Yeah,
so,
of course.
You know, the question why is really about, you know, why aren't we releasing? And in the end, that might come back, you know, comes back to copyright issues, but also perhaps education, perhaps questions of platforms and access and even culture around or appreciation for early film or film history.
Yeah, definitely. So how has the traffic on these sites, these archiving sites overseas, changed in the last few months?
To be honest, my interest or my awareness of the change, and it's been quite a radical change, came just through, you know, anecdotal kind of conversations
right.
with friends who are saying, I'm at home, I'm allowed out once a week to shop. These are friends in Milan.
Yes.
And I used to teach in Milan so I can speak Italian and so I'm really embedded in that community. And they would be saying, you know, we're allowed out for 1 hour a week to shop and I'm at home with my school-age kids. And we're watching amazing films online thanks to the Cineteca, the film archive in Milan. And I was just thinking, that's really strange, like to try and convince my children to sit with me and watch, you know, holding,
yeah.
you know, would be harder, but we don't have the content even, so there's not that option. So, you know, I became aware of this situation of a lot of friends saying, we're all sitting down and watching these crazy animations from the 1920s, from the 1930s. And so I contacted the director of the Cineteca in Milan, Matteo Pavesi, and he said that youth had increased from 300 users a day online to 4 million in March.
Wow.
So that's an incredible leap.
Yeah, incredible.
And that's people in Milan, which is, you know, a really hard-hit city right now and still is. And also it's people across Italy. It's international users as well. So I would stress that when you open the archive, you open it to your city and nation, but also to the world. And so, you know, these people were, I mean, they were in a particular situation or have been in Milan, not as we were allowed outside for an hour a day, you know, so it's different,
yeah.
1 hour a day, 1 hour a week. But, you know, so perhaps you can say, okay, in Italy, it's much more of a shutdown. But on the other hand, they could have gone to Netflix and Canopy and everything else like everyone else here has been.
Yeah.
So why the shift? And, you know, you can't just say, you know, I don't know, they're in Milan and we're in Melbourne. It's because they have the streaming services online.
Yeah.
And it's available. Yeah.
Well, I'm a film student myself, and I've actually been having to track down movies from the last 50 years for my assignments. And funnily enough, and I found it very hard to do so. I had to get rid of a lot of my ideas, unfortunately. And I guess just to go off this, what do you think this limited access means for education?
Well, I think locally, like, you know, you're talking about being a film student. Well, I'm trying to teach film history.
Yeah.
And my examples and the archives that I have to get my students to look at are always international archives so that they can access them and understand what it means to do research and to find a film and watch it. Yeah. The problem, what happens then if we don't have access to our national collections in terms of streaming, even streaming complete prints or even fragments of unknown films, I can't ask my students to go in and identify actors, to talk about gesture, to perhaps populate Wikipedia kind of pages, or to create assignments which are a little more outward facing, but at least building on our national collection. And so it means that the history that I teach often becomes, you know, focused on European or American films, which were very important, but Australia had an amazing film industry in the late 19th and early 20th century.
Yeah, definitely.
And, of course, not all films exist, but that's the same for any nation. But what we do have that exists should really be taught and should be available to our students. And even in the decades going into the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, whatever, you know, it's really important that students can kind of discover works themselves without it being a kind of, this is the one film we're watching this week and you must all sit down and watch. You know, the element of discovery in an archive is unbelievable. And if you can get younger students, like, you know, as in first year, second year, third year, aware that our National Archive has these incredible resources which can interest them, can trigger inquiries, then you have the next generation as custodians of this history that we have to manage and maintain and keep alive. And really, you can't do that if you're saying, okay, if you need to access this print, you either have to book into ACME at Melbourne or a viewing facility in Sydney, find the time to do it, go there, and you're not allowed to film on your phone while you're watching, so you'd better take good notes while you're watching because you'll never see it again. You know, it's very, very hard to teach in that situation.
Yeah.
I was trying to set up some teaching with Dartmouth because they're doing metadata and I'm kind of using tools where you can annotate clips and look at gesture and depth and lighting and things like that. And, you know, I was thinking, why don't we do that on Australian early film the way they're doing that with the Library of Congress in America? You know, and I did propose that to the NFSA and they said they'd get back to me, but they didn't. And perhaps they will after this crisis. But the problem is that I couldn't tell my students to go and do this project where they would be annotating and looking at early Australian film because it just wasn't available. So then you're not teaching the material and then that history isn't opened up. And, you know, generationally it is absolutely going to be a crisis at some point if there isn't awareness of what we have.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I definitely think I would benefit from my teacher who's talked about all the beautiful Australian films, but I can never seem to watch them. So definitely something to consider.
definitely. Like, it's nice to hear, but it's good to watch.
And yeah, definitely.
It's a cinema. I mean, it's a viewing experience. And of course, we all know now, you know, screens are mobile. We can watch in the bedroom or at home, whatever. But we need to be able to watch, you know. And I keep thinking, like, the art galleries have opened up, and the entire thing has been to reenact and do tableau vivants of famous, you know, paintings. And I'm just thinking, why aren't we doing that with the early film clips? Why isn't there the cultural awareness that we can open our film archives and have the same public engagement in film history, which is perhaps a little bit, you know, is as important because of the audiovisual culture today? You know, why don't we have this visual awareness or recognition? Because we can't see the film, so no one will know what they are. So you can't reenact it.